Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode. On behalf of Discipleless City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, follow along on whatever platform you're listening to, and keep up to date on Instagram at the Toddcast _DAC. On this show, we hear testimonies of how Jesus became real to people and how that's impacted their lives. This year at Discipleless City, we're partnering with over 200 churches in over 25 cities in Canada to see 100,000 Canadians hear the gospel. For more information on this and how you can be involved, check out our website at discipleascity.ca and click on the 100K Harvest. And friends, don't forget to download the United Hive app. This is a place where you can share testimonies of prayer, healing, baptism, and salvation, and is being used all over the world. Download the United Hive app today. Friends, we have another musical artist with us as we slide over to Scandinavia. The band's name is Silence the Echo. They are from Lahti, Finland. Please welcome Jani and Katja Stefanovic. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Did I nail it?
Pretty much. Almost.
That's good. It's really nice to meet you guys.
Likewise, we're honored to be on your Toddcast show. Yeah,
and thank you for responding and taking the time to chat with us today. I was excited when I stumbled across you guys on Instagram and your music and what's going on over there, and just really super curious. Like I said to you just before the show, I've not been to Finland, but been to Sweden, and just, you know, I'm just really fascinated about other cultures and stuff, and just learning too about Christianity and other cultures and what the climate's like for that. So excited for that and to hear about your music and what you guys are doing and what you have coming up in the future. So
awesome.
You had mentioned you were born in Sweden originally. Can you just sort of give a little history on that? Were you born in a Christian family, or how did that work for you back in Sweden?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Sweden, Gothenburg. Also in my childhood, we lived in Stockholm. I was raised by, how do you say it? Is it a single mom? Like, they were divorced, so my mom and my siblings, younger sister and brother, and one older brother. And as far as I can remember, it was a Christian home. My mom has been a very devoted Christian as long as I have lived. So she became a Christian, I think, 3 years before I was born. So that's been a part of my whole life, essentially. So, attending church was a must when I was a kid. And so it's been very present from very early on in my life. And with the various deviations when I grew up and, you know, sort of returning back to faith. And it contains a lot. I'm 45 now, so there's a story to each and everyone.
I bet. Yeah, for sure. And Katja, did you grow up in Finland or?
Yeah. I was born in Kuopio in Finland. Yeah, and I was raised in a Christian family. My father was a pastor, so I was also involved a lot in church. And as I became a teenager, I was leading worship a lot, and that kind of, that's my life. Yeah.
So would you guys say growing up, because I remember, you know, where I was telling you about Awakening Europe when I went to Scandinavia, when I went to Stockholm, at the time we were being told that Sweden was the most atheist country in Europe, at least at that time. Would you, growing up as a Christian there, would you feel that by and large the majority of the country was that way? Does that seem accurate, or is that just something? Because since then, I've heard of several other countries that are getting that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Our perception is that, let's say, North America is way more accepting, like, Christian beliefs and all, while it's very sort of, I wouldn't say it's hostile or anything. I haven't personally experienced, but I think the climate generally is very harsh against religion overall, but maybe specifically against Christianity. So even if I would meet you like personally, people are polite and accepting, oh, you believe in Christ or whatever. Good for you. But like on a bigger, larger scale, if you would see it on like Facebook or something where people are just throwing comments randomly, it's very harsh. But I think that's pretty accurate that Sweden and I think Scandinavia, like Norway, Denmark, Finland, and Sweden are pretty humanist countries nowadays. They have a solid, or not solid, a strong Christian background, like in the history.
Right.
Like where like church services or morning services in school was like the normal standard. You prayed and started the mornings in school with prayers and stuff. And like Christmas holidays, it was like a Christian traditions. But nowadays, it's very toned down, like eradicating all those Christian traditions more and more, I would say, in whole Scandinavia.
Yeah. And you feel like that's becoming more the norm now as time moves on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say it's like that. But at the same time, I've never experienced any personal hardships, you know, about it. So it's a bit weird because I haven't been attacked or anything personally or my family or anything, but still the overall atmosphere is very harsh.
Are people...
You're not...
Sorry, say that again?
Yeah, that you're basically a nutcase if you believe in higher powers or God, or specifically if you believe in Christ.
or if you say the name Jesus, then it's too much for many people here.
Yeah.
So people, so then people would not be very receptive to talking, like, not forcing stuff on people, but just in conversations, because usually, right, I find over here anyways, is their people would not be open, just like you said, but they're actually broken inside, and you know, when they can tell that you just want to have a conversation and you're not after anything, then kind of the doors open. Would you say people would be, under certain circumstances, would be open to you sharing your faith, especially if they're kind of not in a good place?
I think it's pretty similar, yeah. You sort of read the situation where you can sort of open up that discussion with closer friends, which are not believers. I think it could be easier at times. But like if you just came across a totally random person on the street, it's kind of a hurdle to, hey, let me introduce you to Jesus.
What I've learned in a workplace and with our friends, it's kind of important just to love people and just, you know, love them and be real you and be their friend. So that's the most important thing, and they will notice the difference.
Yeah,
100%. That's usually what has led to the discussion, sort of, that they sense or notice something different about you, your presence or behavior or whatever tiny things that might spark that conversation. I know I work from home, but Katya has been working as a hairdresser, and She has multiple occasions where she's been led or given the opportunity to share about her faith or her personal experiences about God or whatever, you know. So you sort of read the situation, and sometimes it's very open and sometimes you just sense that it's completely shut.
Yeah, that's just interesting. That's really the same here. It's very similar, right? And it's just interesting because sometimes we're led to believe that it's completely different somewhere else. But cultures are different, but people are people, right? I mean, like, we're created in His image, so we're all, you know, we're just all the same. Katya, for you growing up, your dad was a pastor, you said. So for you, when you grew up, is this something that's always been very close to your heart, or did you have a period where you sort of drifted away and sort of found your way back, or has your faith just been super strong the whole time?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been super strong all the time, not at all. But the closeness with God, it has always been in me. And yeah, I've been with God my whole life. But yeah, there's moments when I've been doubting and I have my struggles, but yeah, I love Him.
And what about yourself? You talked about a journey. I mean, I have a journey. I was, you know, as you can tell from some of the things in the background, I was quite far from it at one point in my life and had a really significant sort of moment where everything shifted. For you, Yanni, was there something specific that sort of made it your own? Like, you grew up in it and stuff with your family, but, you know, and experienced life and everything, but was there anything specific that kind of drew you back, or was it a process, or?
It was during my, like, teenage years. I was like 15, 16 or something when I started to, I wasn't that interested in what my mom sort of, it started to feel like she was pushing her beliefs on me, and I felt like I needed to find out for myself what I believe in. And I think it was a lot of insecurities and like a group pressure, maybe even because I was very, very active. I played, like you call it, soccer, football for us, soccer. I was aspiring to be very successful. I played in almost the top leagues, like at that age. And so all surrounding me, all the friends and everything, they weren't Christian. So I had a Christian home, but then I saw nothing of that outside of my home. Of course, in the church, but I didn't have that much of friends in church. It was more to go to the church, but then I returned home, and it was like two different worlds. So I think I became quite confused. And then there was this part, I loved like metal music in secret. It was sort of not so accepted to listen to any non-Christian music in my family.
The same was in our family when I was younger. So I was secretly listening some metal music also. But nowadays my parents are very free, and you know, it's all different, but then when I was younger.
Yeah. So I was sort of interested in this music, and it was forbidden, you know, and all my friends liked it, and I started to get interested in learning instruments, and that was also two different worlds. So I remember vividly I had like hidden all my Iron Maiden cassettes back of the drawer, you know, and hoping that my mom wouldn't find, and it became more and more and more, it was hidden. And basically, yeah, telling you, I remember like my older brother telling me that it's from the devil. It's like, it's really evil. You can't do that. And I had an internal struggle for many years that I love this kind of music. And actually, I didn't find like Christian alternatives for very long. It was like I listened to Iron Maiden, which became Sepultura and Pantera. It was like these quite aggressive bands, and I loved that. But I would say I was in a constant sort of religious fear that I'm doing something very bad now and I'm going to hell, sort of. And that led me to a path that I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. And I joined my first bands. I went on a European tour. It was like serious then, long, covered almost the whole of Europe. And it was during that time, so I'm quite glad it was quite early on, but I had been aspiring to be like a touring musician, and this would be my occupation and everything. I want to be a rock star, basically. And when I finally reached that moment, now we're talking about maybe 5 years, I was 21 when I went on my first big tour. So maybe 5, 6 years was this turmoil and insecurities and battle. I'm doing something wrong. I went to church, but sort of felt that it was forced upon me. And then I went to play in the bands, and it was two worlds, you know. But when I reached that, okay, now I'm finally reaching that end goal. I'm starting to tour now. I'm reaching what I have wanted to do for many years. And while on that tour, I felt very strongly like I was called upon. And all the things that I saw, and it was like partying, and it was a lot of alcohol. It's basically what you get for free. That's sort of the first. Who cares about the money when you're 18, 19, 20 years old? You get the free booze and everything, and you get to see all the countries. But that didn't sit well with me. So I had all the Christian background, and I had sort of the knowledge, maybe not the personal encounter, but I had the something that held me back. So I didn't drink. I drank some, but I didn't like go full on. It was something that kept me from going overboard, if you will. I saw drugs, and I saw, you know, prostitutes, and you saw all that. And I felt very strongly then that, well, this isn't quite what I want. I love to play the music, but I don't want this lifestyle. I'm not quite like that. So the whole tour finished up, and it wasn't until I came back that I really started to search, like soul searching, if you will. And that was sort of a slow path back that I couldn't sort of turn my back on the idea of God loving me. And sort of, I don't have an exact point, but it came to a conclusion that no, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and I believe that what I've been told and what I have seen and experienced in the churches is real. So that's, I think, maybe when I was 22, 23. And obviously I've had my doubts since then. It's sometimes uphill and easier passages, you know, but since then I would conclude that I sort of have remained that I am a Christian.
That's
in a nutshell.
I was going to ask you guys about that. How did you discover music and that type of music? And it's interesting, right? Because when you have to do it, especially when you're younger, right? When you have to do it in secret, it just makes it even more drawing, right? Like it's just drawing. And it's interesting. At the end of last year, I interviewed a Canadian artist who grew up in a Christian family. And at the time for him, he wasn't even allowed to listen to, you know, Christian metal that were actual, like, labeled as Christian bands and stuff, right? I mean, it's just whatever. Sometimes I feel like the heart of the people is they're wanting to protect, right? But it's like, you know, I don't know where the line is, but we have to make our own decisions, right?
Yeah, you have to remember this is the early 80s, 84, 85 for me. I loved, I was 6 years old and I heard Final Countdown with Europe, which is not that heavy, but it was totally forbidden.
Yeah.
So then I came across, I came across one thing. I came home with a Striper cassette and told, like, I was so excited. Like, Mom, this is Christian. It's about, no. No, that music style can't be Christian. So it's part of that era, I think, where sort of religious background, and it was out of goodwill.
Yeah,
I think wholeheartedly. And Katya has the very similar with different music, but it was sort of forbidden, even the Christian versions.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's the right term, because, you know, they break down metal into all these different categories, but death metal, is that something really big in Scandinavia? And is that specifically Finland or more of all of Scandinavia? There was a, I should have checked this out. I can't remember the name. There's actually a guy from the city where I live, or close to where I live, that did a documentary, and it was pretty big. And it was, I think it's called Metal Evolution. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
yeah, I know.
It's right.
It's actually it's a good documentary.
It's amazing. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So that death metal, Scandinavia in large, I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it, or a specific country, like big festival and all that.
Yeah. I'd say that, Finland has a strong vein of melodic metal and power metal, and then some more aggressive metal that would be labeled like maybe melodic death metal. But then you have Sweden, who has this strong era of both melodic death metal and also these kind of, you have these band, I'm not sure what they're called, like how you label, but you have Entombed and Dismember and these 90s which I would personally label that as death metal. And then you have Norway, which is more known for the black metal.
That's
scene. But all of Scandinavia, I think we have a very dense sort of number of people liking this aggressive music.
Was that ever something that you guys got into?
I have played, I have a couple of bands where I've done, like, it's all really harsh vocals and would be labeled, I think, as melodic death metal.
Yeah. So many categories, eh? Like,
there's too many.
way too many. That documentary was fascinating, just in all the different categories. So, Katya, were you playing music? Well, you said you were singing at an early age and stuff. When did you start doing, were you in bands previous to this as well? Or what was your musical background like?
Yeah, I was in a band called Random Eyes when I was maybe 18 years old when it started. And maybe it lasted about 3 years with that band. And then I was just leading worship a lot. And yeah, leading worship after that was very, you know, I did that a lot after that.
So how did you guys, I just found it so I can do right by my Canadian brother here. Metal Evolution from 2011. Sam Dunn was the director, for anybody that wants to check that out. It's, I think it was 10 episodes, eh?
Yeah.
It's quite an awesome documentary. just to give him some credit since I dropped the name, you know. So how did you guys meet from the two different countries? Did you move to Finland, or how did you guys get connected?
Yeah, we had I had a band back in sort of mid 2005, 2006 or something, where I was still living in Gothenburg, but I have a couple of members in the band who lived in Finland. So we sort of had mutual friends. And basically, I knew of her, but I had never seen her personally or met her. And she knew of me. But so I think that's the sort of background to it. And came in 2007 or 2008, where I don't remember which one was the first, but you asked me for a project, or I asked you to join on some of my I wanted a female singer on something, and that's how we purely almost like out of a musical collaboration, which quite quickly turned into something more. that music collaboration didn't even start, I don't think. But that was the first time, and then a couple of years or 3 years went on, and then contacted again about the same, like, I have this musical thing. But from that point, I think it was 2009 or something, we started to talk, like, just randomly over, not Facebook Messenger, but something similar. I don't remember what it was.
Then Jani recorded my solo album called Father. Then it started quite.
Yeah, around that time. Yeah, we recorded the vocals for your first solo album in 2009, which was released in 2010, I think. Just like a piano worship type of thing. And during that season, when we sort of planned to record your album, I think we fell in love, or maybe we already were like involved before the recordings, but somewhere like that. We have been married now for this year will be the 15th anniversary. So, yeah.
Awesome. Do you guys, when you say collaboration, like, were you guys actually writing songs together?
No, it was all her compositions, and I just recorded her, and then I tried to mix, let's put it like that. I wouldn't say it's a great mix, but people love the spirit on that album. It's not a technical album, but it carries something way more than fancy details of musicality, and that's so far one of your most loved albums.
Yeah.
So who writes for Silence the Echo?
We write together. Hard to say what the ratio is, but many of the ideas is completely Katja's ideas, and I try to realize them into a composition, and vice versa. I make the foundation, and she has
I do the lyrics and the melodies all by myself, mostly at least. We work together,
and excuse me, I really like lyrics and songs. Like, it's interesting, right, how we're all different. Some people don't even pay attention to lyrics. Others, it's the music. For me, it's the guitar primarily, but I also like the lyrics and stuff. So, but I understand that sometimes people write lyrics that come right from their heart or a life experience or their faith or something. And then other times it's just, they're just really super creative and the song doesn't really mean anything, but they can just, you know, they have that creativity to throw stuff together. So when you're writing, Where is that coming from you? Is that coming from your heart, or where is that coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming from my heart, and it's basically my journey with God and my life. Yeah.
And you're incorporating, because Silence the Echo is new for you guys. You've stated, and you've both been in several bands and done stuff. So this is pretty new. And so are you continuing sort of that writing process in with this band?
Yes, yes.
And it was sort of one of the core motivations for Silence the Echo was to, because I've been a part of the secular scene quite a lot. I've done like bands which has no sort of hidden agenda or any message to spread. It's just metal. But with this band, it's purely born foremostly born out of her vision, what she's been feeling to be a calling in her heart to. So it was very important that this whole band is built upon that foundation. It's not about striving to be the next big metal band or cool this whatever, but essentially that we are listening to what's coming or what she feels in her spirit, or that we are led, if you understand.
Yeah.
That we're not trying to make something cool just to make something. We really want to be led in this whole project. But at the same time, we actually don't want to be called a Christian group, because our really what we are aspiring, or what we feel in our heart, is that this would reach like the unsaved people foremostly. So as we totally get that people, when they hear the Christian lyrics or the references from the Bible, for example, the first song is Psalm 91, I believe.
Yeah.
So obviously all the Christians like own this, like, okay, this is our next Christian, our own Christian little group. And we want to like banish those borders and really reach as far as we can reach, because although we want to nourish the Christians, they need to be nourished and get the food, if you will, out of sermons and music. But we really want to reach the ones who don't know about Christ and our Savior, you know. So it's a bit of a edge you're balancing, because we didn't label ourselves as Christian anywhere, yet Spotify labeled us as a Christian group, like automatically, without us even labeling any. You can tag, you know, and you can put up the for the songs if this is metal or Christian or religious or whatever. So it's like evident, you can't avoid it. And we don't have a problem with it per se, but behind it, it's very like a strong focus on that we, I don't know if obedient is the right word, but following what we feel is the calling on our hearts.
Yeah. I totally get you. And I respect and appreciate that, because I came to faith later in life, and unbeknownst to me, there was bands like POD, if you're familiar with POD, that I listened to, and I didn't know they were Christian.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know they were Christian guys, right? They weren't labeled a Christian band. And but I really liked it. And it's funny because when I came to faith, I still liked hard rock and metal. But some stuff that I liked before that was really super angry or dark, it just didn't sit well in my spirit. And then it's almost as if bands like POD were rebirthed to me, because now I could actually hear it. Right, I could actually hear the words. So,
yeah,
Well, let's have a little sample.
Okay.
No, is that, that's not it.
No.
That's not it. No. I had it all queued up. So you are expecting another single. Go ahead.
It will be released on the 29th of January. It's called Through the Dark.
And you guys just shot a video for that when we were talking about setting you guys up.
Yeah. So a new music video will be released on next Wednesday, I think. 29th is Wednesday. Yeah.
All right, let's try this again. Somehow that Norwegian death metal snuck in. Okay. I don't even know what that was. This is what we were looking for. When I came across this, my ears just perked right up. It's really good. I really, really like it.
Thank you.
Good to hear.
Can you tell us a little bit about the song? You kind of alluded a bit to it before, like in your lyrics and your writing when you were writing this.
Yeah, well, this song is very, very dear to my heart. And it has always been, and I really, it's very important for us Christians to grasp it, really what it means, that it's really true what this is all about. You know, he is our shelter, and you know, we can go under his wings and be safe whatever happens around us. So it's truly it should be, and I really desire that this would be a foundational thing in my life. Whatever happens, that I can be secure in him.
Yeah. That song's called Into Serenity, friends. You can find that on Spotify. It's on YouTube, all the places, anxiously awaiting your next track. What are your guys' hopes for the band and the reach? Like you said, just wanting to reach other people, like, you know, people who don't know Jesus through your lyrics and your music and stuff. So what are your hopes for the next 6 months?
Well, our plan is to release. We have a few more singles that we have planned to release before the actual physical release of it will be released as a CD. This next Wednesday will be the second single, and we have planned for 5 singles in total. And basically to expand the attention span of people, because we are a new band and we do want to be noticed by the market and listeners. So it's a very saturated market, so it takes way more effort than used to. You have to constantly sort of be seen or talked about or heard. And you can already see it, like now we have only one song and it has gone like 1.5 month and it's really quickly starts to decrease like the interest. So if we were to just release the album like we used to back in the days, it would be forgotten in like 2-3 weeks. So this is, I think, the modern day of doing things. A lot of video singles, a lot of social media content, which is a bit unfamiliar to, or not as that natural to us. We like to create the music, but it's really a full-time job almost to just constantly think of what you need to do or post or share. Or so it's been really, really fun, but at the same time, quite stressful because we have normal jobs. We have a daughter who goes to school and the other guys in the band has families as well. Besides our drummer is a bit younger than us. But yeah, that's basically our plan to release these singles. And hopefully that will draw some attention from perhaps record labels and what's it called? Yeah, like gigging opportunities, festivals or whatever. We're really open for anything that comes our way. So we're aspiring to take this as long as we can, whatever it might be, to play in front of a few people or thousands of people, Lord willing.
Amen. Yeah, you really just need to trust in the Lord, eh?
Yeah.
And you know,
definitely.
It's funny how it's like that now. It's funny how you say it's, you know, sort of peaks and then drops off really early, and the consumption and the attention span is almost saddening, right? Like social media posts where it's like 6 seconds. You got 6 seconds. But that being said, you know, people will watch a whole post or people will find your music and listen to your song, and you may have no idea how much that impacts people as it goes out. And so, yeah, we just got to trust in the Lord that people will hear it. And
yeah, absolutely. And I really believe that this, our band is also a dream of God. You know, he is dreaming. He has been dreaming about this band, so it's his idea, you know, so we will trust in him and we will do it as good as we can, but we will not stress about it, or we try our best to just relax and rest in him and he will guide us.
Well, I'm thankful for it because I know I need more Scandinavian metal in my life. So thank you for doing that. That's good for the soul.
Yeah.
The name of your second song again, because when this podcast is out, your song will be released. So
Through the Dark
on Spotify. Guys, thank you so much for your time today. It was really nice meeting you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Really nice meeting you and hearing your story. And I just had one more question for you guys. As you shared your heart about writing lyrics and who you'd like to reach, as you start to go out and tour this record and stuff like that, if you get some young people that you meet after the show that come up to you and, you know, really resonate with your music, but they're kind of similar, maybe they're in a spot like you guys were when they were younger, where this type of music is forbidden for them or recommended to not listen to. But they can hear the positive message or they feel it in their spirit when listening to your music. What would you say with them to help them navigate that?
Well, I would say that pray about it. If you, you know, you love the Lord and you really love or not, I don't care, but if you just want to listen to this music and you feel like it is helping you and it gives you hope, so pray about it and ask God that, you know, that you would be free to listen to it, and you know, Holy Spirit would reveal this thing to your parents or whatever, you know, because you know he's the one and he could help in all situations.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of difficult situation because we've been there ourselves, so I don't know if it would be correct to say do what you want.
Yeah.
Bible tells us to honor our parents, so it's a bit, but then if you know that we know this is good for you because we're really trying to give you food here, like if you compare it to a lot of junk that you prefer to listen to, which is actually just nonsense, noise, you know, it's so much anger and hostility and sadness and darkness, you know. So when you know that this would actually benefit you if you listen to the lyrics and take that in, but at the same time, I don't know if I can say don't obey your parents. So maybe Katya's answer is the correct one for sure. Pray about it and take it up with the Lord if you believe in God, so to speak.
Amen. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bless really you. Fun.
Bless you.
Silence the Echo, friends. Show them some love. Check out their music. Check out the video. The Lord will never lead you wrong.